This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Finelli.
We're all set. Cocked, locked. Hour number two of USA Prepares. Bert's with us in California. Welcome, Bert.
Hey, welcome, class.
So, what do you have on the blackboard for today?
Well, Ben, on behalf of the class, I attended a press conference Tuesday morning at the National Press Club in Washington. I did request from the USA Prepares Travel Department to get a trip there, but I guess it was slightly over the budget allotment for class instructors, I guess. So I did attend via Zoom, is the good news. And it was a fascinating press conference.
Yeah, I've been looking all over for that department, you know, the travel arrangements department at USA Prepares. You know, I haven't seen anybody in that department for as long as we've been.
I called and requested a voucher for, United Airlines round trip and stay at the Trump Hotel in Washington. And I guess you got a backlog of requests or something.
I thought you were going to say they're still laughing.
Well, no one got back to me, but no worry. I attended on behalf of the class, and I got to tell you, Vince, this was fascinating. If this story is true, and I have every reason to believe that the people were compelling, this is really bigger than Watergate, bigger, I hate to say it, but a bigger story than the pandemic. This is pretty important stuff. So let me jump right in. At the press conference, four retired United States Air Force officers testified is the wrong word, because this wasn't a court of any sort. It was, it was conducted by one of them, and actually five people really talked. And what they discussed was, during their careers overseeing nuclear missiles throughout the West, where we have nuclear missile silos, they were interfered with by UFOs who would fly over and do strange things to the electronics, basically, in most cases, completely disabling, scrambling the software, the firmware, whatever we want to call it. These were most likely generation two, second generation computer systems governing the launch and navigation of these missiles. And other than that, they didn't do any harm. These officers testified what their experiences were, and at this point in their careers. So let me say that this happened in the I think it's still going on, but the press conference covered officers testifying about this happening in the 60s and the 70s. So these officers are now up there in age, and they have this, they've borne with this their entire lives, probably only telling their families in most cases. And they threw just the network, and a couple of guys had gone on Coast to Coast and some other radio shows. I believe there might have been a couple of magazine articles written. So they seem to find each other and start talking about it, and that's primarily what this 4-hour conference was. was these officers discussing their experiences and what had happened. Very fascinating.
So what did they describe?
Well, I mean, each case was individual, but I can kind of like wrap it up into a typical case. So there would be strange lights, let's say on day one. And again, I'm wrapping, you know, many, many cases into kind of a typical case here. So on day one, they would just note strange lights in the sky and just things hovering over the base. And one group would come in to relieve another group, because the way this works is these silos are embedded in the ground. Without a direct hit, they would probably survive nuclear war. That's the idea, so they can retaliate. And if there is a nuclear exchange, they would relieve another group, and they'd say, hey, you know, just filling you in, there are some strange things over the sky. Then the next group would take over. Then those strange lights would come down lower, and then all of a sudden, the group operating the equipment, manning the consoles, would start seeing the display scrambling, lights blinking, and, you know, buzzers going off saying basically, we're offline, we're not, you know, something's happened, or, you know, I mean, you want to have a warning if things aren't working right, so you don't push the button and have the missile self-explode in the silo or go, you know, go to a random destination. Wouldn't be a good thing. So those warnings started going off, and of course they call their superiors, and calls go off to Washington or to NORAD headquarters, and basically things start escalating. Nothing bad happened, in the sense no missiles were launched, no bombs had gone off, but the missiles were completely incapacitated, at least for a period of time. And in subsequent days, generals would arrive and interview the people that saw it on the base, and in every case they were told not to talk about it. In some of the cases, and again, you know, each one a little different, but in some of the cases they were told this didn't happen. This never happened. So not only can't they talk about it, it never happened. They go, what are you talking about? I mean, I was there. You weren't anywhere. You were manning your base and doing your job, and nothing happened. And so that's what they had to live with for many years, until eventually it ate at their conscience and they decided they needed to talk about it. So these officers were very credible. You know, you can, since I think you and I both have a way to, when you look at someone, you can tell, are they, you know, fabricating and fibbing and making up a story, or is this something that they're talking about truthfully? And you can tell these officers were getting this off their conscience and talking about what they had experienced, and happy to discuss it with their fellow officers who had, you know, in many cases, you know, different bases across the country or in different years. So this happened basically from, you know, let's say the mid to late 60s through the 70s. And I think it's still going on now. It's just that this group of officers has decided to come forth and talk about it. And so that's what I attended on Tuesday morning for our class.
Was there any mention from the four or five participating in this conference about what the Soviet Union experienced during that time, the 60s and the 70s?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. They didn't talk about it, but I will say, having followed this topic generally myself, as you know, I am a part-time UFO researcher, kind of a hobby, and you know, maybe someday more of a hobby. But I do know that they have had similar instances in the Soviet Union, and you can Google it and you can see some cases. Now, in those cases also, they were told not to talk about it, and I think that's taken a little more strict in the Soviet Union, because in the U.S., you're told not to talk about it, and you talk about it, of the time, nothing happens. In the Soviet Union, when you're told not to talk about something and you talk about it, at least in those days during the Soviet Union, you might never be found again. So it's a little harder to get information out from the Russian, the ex-Russian or Soviet military. But yes, then it did occur in the Soviet Union as well. Very similar instances.
Okay, so what does this mean? What is the takeaway? Did you come out with the opinion that there are extraterrestrials and they are interested in not seeing us implode through our own devices? Are they protecting us from ourselves and each other?
I would say out of the 4 hours, the first 3 hours and 40 minutes were basically the individual testimony of the various officers, and these were mid-level officers, mostly captains in the Air Force. So basically telling their stories and looking at the similarities, and the beginning, actually, the press conference, Robert Salas, who kind of coordinated it, gave a background on UFO phenomena beginning in 1947 when the nuclear age began, and how there were visitations over the first Air Force base that was nuclear capable, and that was Roswell Air Force Base. That was the Air Force Base that launched the two bombs that were dropped in World War II, and for a few years was the only nuclear armed base in the United States. So he gave a brief history of that, but it wasn't really to the last, let's say, 20 minutes or so that they got into trying to ask why, and then they took some questions from the audience. Unfortunately, I couldn't ask there because it was you had to be there, present there to have your question taken. But they did bring it up, and I think we might believe. I think, as in Star Trek, there's a prime directive: do not interfere with other civilizations. But when they see something they know is extremely harmful, and not only harmful to ourselves, but potentially harmful to all civilizations, if we believe that there's life outside of this planet, then I think they don't come in and literally stop us from doing something that's wrong, but they try and give us hints that you're doing something dangerous and something that is not good for yourself or the planet. And I believe that's what that was.
Now, one of the things that has been discussed for many, many decades is, what if there's an asteroid that's coming our way, and it's really large, and it could do a lot of damage to the planet? Can we deflect that with a nuclear warhead? Can we, break it up into smaller pieces and make it less dangerous, the impact, and maybe have some of these pieces burn up in our atmosphere? And what would happen if we had a nuclear holocaust on our planet? Would we put ourselves into a position where the Earth would wobble in its orbit, and then it would affect all the other planets in our solar system, which would affect other bodies in space?
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Bert's with us. And Bert, what I was alluding to is it possible that they were worried that the detonation of nuclear weapons, atomic weapons, could cause our Earth to wobble a little bit, and then the wobble would get greater, and then that would endanger the other planets in our solar system's orbits, which would in turn cause other planets and objects in space to have a different gravitational pull, which could cause a domino effect and cause a whole mess, all because of our infinite stupidity here on planet Earth. Do you think that is a possibility of what this warning might have been?
Vince, this is just my opinion, one man's view. I think it was something different than that. I think they were worried that we were going to create a nuclear wasteland out of the planet. And, you know, certain isotopes take hundreds or thousands of years to decay. I think they were worried we were going to blow the planet up. Honestly. But, you know, you mentioned asteroids, and so it's interesting you brought that up, slightly changing the topic. NASA is getting ready to launch a probe to test knocking an asteroid out of orbit. So we're actually working on that, and we're in the final steps of getting ready to launch a spaceship that will go to an asteroid and try and deflect it. Now, it's not an asteroid that's heading to the Earth because, you know we don't want to fool around with, you know, let's say it wasn't going to hit the Earth and we played around and knocked it off course and then it comes right in and smacks us. So this is an asteroid over by Jupiter somewhere, and we're just going to try and nudge it and see how effective it is and record some data. But that is getting ready to launch. Believe it or not.
I think we're messing with things that we have no business messing with. We have enough problems here on Earth to deal with rather than go outside our little playground. Just my opinion.
Well, it's called the Double Asteroid Redirection Test, DART. Uh-huh. The spacecraft will demonstrate the capability of deflecting an incoming asteroid towards Earth. It is currently in California, and it's going to be launched aboard the SpaceX Falcon 9 in November next month.
Well, we already know the answer how this works. I mean, there's Newton's laws of physics that tell us exactly how this works. So, a body continues to be in a state of rest unless acted upon by another body. And you know, those who have played billiards know exactly what that means. So if we hit an asteroid that's traveling and we hit it with a vector of force, we're going to move it. There's no question about that. We don't need to send a spaceship out to do that. We know the answer to that. It's unbelievable. Yeah, please.
Well, I think it's a matter of trying to see how much energy can actually get transferred from the crash spacecraft. I assume it's going to crash, but I suppose it could, try to land and just use thruster rockets. But to try and measure and get some data as to what effect they can actually have. Could they simulate that in the lab? Yeah, probably. We don't set off nuclear bombs anymore because we're able to simulate that all on computers. So we don't do any more nuclear tests, not in the air and not even in the ground anymore because of our advanced capabilities in computer simulation. So who knows? You would like to hope that any asteroid that was going to hit the Earth already has, but there might be a few left out there that might hit in the next couple of million years.
Mm-hmm. So what else did you learn?
Well, I learned that it's probably very easy to play around with second-generation computer technology. So for the class, the generation, we stopped calling them gen, and that probably in cellular we're going to stop too someday. But first-generation computers were vacuum tubes, and that's the generation that took us from basically late World War II through the 50s. And let's say they stopped building vacuum tube-based computers probably in around the time of John F. Kennedy in the early 60s.
Hold that thought.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
As COVID cases in America have dropped 22% in the last 2 weeks, the CDC director, Rochelle Walensky, on Thursday formally endorsed the use of COVID-19 booster shots for Moderna and Johnson & Johnson for some adults. It should be noted, rare but serious side effects have been reported with the vaccines. Heart inflammation has been discovered after young men were jabbed with the Pfizer or Moderna vaccine, and a rare type of blood clot most commonly found in 30 to 39-year-old women after receiving the Johnson & Johnson shot. Texas on Thursday asked the Supreme Court to keep in place a law that bans abortions after a heartbeat is detected. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is asking the High Court to ignore the Justice Department's emergency request that they temporarily block the heartbeat law, officially known as SB 8. China will no longer stream Boston Celtics NBA games after player Enes Kanter called President Xi a brutal dictator. USA Radio News.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
As President Biden is losing patience with some Americans not getting vaccinated against COVID-19, one lawmaker is saying this is America, and Americans must retain the right to choose. Oklahoma Senator Republican James Lankford on Newsmax is a member of the Homeland Security Committee.
Because they're American people, they're not Chinese citizens, they're American citizens. That's the most basic principle. We as Americans get the opportunity to be able to choose. There is a risk if you take the vaccine. There are some individuals, very small number, that have a very bad negative reaction to it. There are also individuals that get COVID that have very bad reactions to COVID, some even leading to death. So every single family, every individual has got to know their own medical history, where their greatest risk is in getting COVID or taking the vaccine. That is an American-free decision to be able to make. And what Biden is trying to do with his September the 9th speech is to say, I'm losing patience with the American people. Everyone has to do it my way. That's something President Xi would say in China. That's not something we want the President of the United States to be able to say. And he's putting a situation in place where literally frontline workers, people that laid their life on the line to be able to protect their fellow American citizens, are now going to be fired by the President of the United States because they're not doing what he wants when he wants them to do it.
Actor Alec Baldwin shot and killed a cinematographer and injured a director when he fired a prop gun on the New Mexico movie set of the film Rust. Local detectives are investigating how and what type of projectile was discharged. I'm Lance Pry, and this is USA Radio News.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAprepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
Bert's with us. And Bert, you mentioned vacuum tubes and... And, yes, we did, wean off vacuum tubes, in the 60s, and there were still some vestiges of tubes being used for radios and televisions into the 70s, but you're right, we transitioned from, the vacuum tubes to solid state electronics, mainly being the transistor. And, many people believe that, we reverse engineered some UFO technology, and because we couldn't figure it out, but when we got samples of UFO technology, some of our brightest corporate engineers reverse engineered some of it, and that's how we got solid state electronics. That being said, do you agree or disagree? We have a caller on the line. And, Bert, are you able to take calls today? Do you have enough time to do that?
Yeah, but let me just first say that I think you're partly correct in what you said. The transistor was actually invented before Roswell, so we did have early, very primitive transistors in the late 40s. What we didn't have was integrated circuit technology. And that, I think, when we started seeing some of the mass integration of circuitry from some of the recovered UFOs, I think that led engineers and scientists to begin thinking that there was a higher level of integration beyond a simple three-terminal junction transistor. So, and it was, in fact, transistors that led to the second generation of computers, and I think that was the generation that was in existence at the missile silos that these officers were talking about. So, yeah, sure.
So integrated circuits are the joining of transistors, resistors, capacitors, etc., all in one package, correct? Rather than having discrete units like a separate transistor wired to a resistor, to a capacitor, those inductor, those kinds of things, they're all put in one package, which would be called an integrated circuit. Is that correct?
In part. Generally not capacitors. It's primarily just printed transistors. You can think of it as a transistor that's just printed on film and layers of film put together. So it started off with maybe 10 or 20 transistors and we're into thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of transistors now. But it's basically transistors. It's pretty, capacitor needs space, physical space. So it's difficult to put capacitors, even to this day, in integrated circuits. We can do some resistors, but it's generally transistors. In fact, we're figuring out ways to simulate resistors or capacitors just using mass numbers of transistors because it's easier to do a transistor. And by the way, those transistors have kind of evolved from junction transistors now to almost all what we call as field effect transistors or FETs or MOSFETs as to what we use on current integrated circuits and microprocessors.
Okay, and FET is spelled F-E-T, and MOSFET is M-O-S-F-E-T, correct?
Yeah, and it's just a different type of the first transistors or junction transistors, and you could think of it as kind of three conductive terminals. A FET is actually very close to a vacuum tube. You have two terminals, and there's an impedance across those two terminals, and the third terminal is a gate. And that gate influences the conductivity through the other two terminals. The other two terminals are the gate, the source and the drain, and they're almost reversible. And then the gate just sets up a field that influences the amount of current that can flow through the other two terminals. So that's where you get the idea of field effect, FET.
And MOSFET stands for metal oxide field
correct.
Effect transistor. Charles in Ohio, welcome. You're on with Bert.
Good morning, gentlemen, and I hope everyone's well. I don't want to tie up a bunch of your time. I just wanted to say that Peter Jennings in primetime in February 2005, he did cover the UFO at Minot Air Force Base.
Yes, that was one of them they discussed.
Yeah, it is good that these witnesses are finding it to come forward, but it's like it's always been, this stuff, it's slow coming.
Yes, the government is very slow in wanting to talk about this.
Yeah,
and that was
okay.
Quick to lie, slow to tell the truth.
Yeah, I agree. But that's all I wanted to contribute. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Charles. Charles is a USA Prepares instructor. He comes on the air with me and talks about technologies and better technologies and more efficient technologies. And he is a researcher extraordinaire. And he goes to the patents. When he does his research, he goes to the source, goes to the patents, and then tries to figure out how they did it and why they did it and what the result is. Bert, back to this conference that you attended via telecommunications. Were the participants concerned about alien presence? Were they concerned, or did they think it's good? Did they think that we need to do what Hollywood says, and, you know, let's launch nuclear weapons and blow these aliens out of existence? Or do they think that these are our friends?
Well, I would say the general theme was they're here to give us a warning. They're here to tell us we're playing with things maybe we shouldn't be playing with. We're doing dangerous things. Now, I will say there's a few people in the UFO community that, you know, we see a lot of these videos now on TV of the unidentified aerial phenomena and the things that the Navy footage has from fighter jets. And there's a certain thread trying to say, hey, this could be a threat to the U.S. and to our security. But I think that's a red herring. I think some people are using that as a way to get the military to open up, saying it's a threat and we should be talking about it. But I think really they know if these objects, these, you know, whatever they are, intelligently guided objects, if they wanted to do us harm, they could have done us harm a long time ago. I mean, let's face it, if they have the capability to screw around with the software in our missile silos from a mile up in the sky, they could probably do a lot worse things to us, and they haven't. So are they really a threat? They might only be a threat to the people who want to wage war. You know, let's maybe put it that way. But I think really the theme was, something's going on, the military is hiding it, the government's hiding it, and the American people are probably ready to learn more about what's going on. And in any case, who is it for the government to say whether we should know about it or not? And that was kind of the theme of the conference. And there was a question and answer session at the end, and that was kind of also the theme that was discussed during the question and answer period.
You mentioned the term red herring, red space, H-E-R-R-I-N-G. So, of course, if you haven't heard that term, it's a way of misleading or distracting from the important issue. It's a way of pushing you off target. And if you're wondering what an example of that would be, just watch Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary. And you'll see nonstop demonstrations of what a red herring is. It's a method of misleading and distracting from the relevant or important issue. So now the question is, do you think that this happened with the Wuhan virus laboratory in China? Do you think that maybe as an extension? Now, this would be just opinion, Bert. I'm asking you your opinion. Do you think maybe that the extraterrestrials, since we're messing with nuclear devices and they kind of persuaded us not to do that, do you think maybe they are interested in what we're doing to ourselves with biologicals?
Well, I'm going to guess, and I'm just throwing that out here, that they probably are. You know, we talk about other parts of the world. There were numerous UFO sightings over Fukushima during the meltdown that occurred in Japan several years ago. And, you know, there actually was a meltdown, and it occurred because, you know, it was a chain of events. Just real quick for the class, what had happened is there was an earthquake. The earthquake caused the tsunami. The tsunami caused water to flow over a retention wall at the nuclear reactor and basically flooded the backup generators. So the power went out because of the earthquake. The tsunami flooded the backup generators, which caused the reactor plant to have no electricity to operate its normal operation or even its shutdown procedure operation. And that caused the, there were several reactors there at the plant, caused several of them to melt down, where it actually goes out of control and melts into the earth. And that occurred. And then that released radiation into the air, which has caused cancer and killed people. So it was just a series of events that reactor was not built properly. And in short, to answer your question, Vince, there were UFOs seen, spotted in the days following the initial tragedy there, flying over the power plant.
Yeah, and that happened in March 11th, I believe, 2011, roughly 10 years ago. And, Glass, if you're wondering what they did, they, in order to keep this reactor core cool from doing more damage, they just poured seawater on it and just kept it cool. And they collected some of that seawater and they put it into tanks. And now they say they don't have enough real estate to store any more of this. And soon they are going to start dumping those tanks into the Pacific Ocean. And scientists, I think, have been bought and paid for and have come forward and said, it's dilute. You know, the ocean's really big, and it will dilute this radioactive waste, and you really don't have to worry about it. It's no big deal. And other scientists have said, it'll take forever to get from Japan to the California coast. And it happened in about 7 days. So forever is 7 days, according to what I've learned. That's a big deal. This is a really big deal. We're talking about polluting one of the greatest bodies of water on planet Earth, and all the bodies of water are interconnected, every single one. And fresh water is connected with salt water. So pretty soon, because of this disaster, we'll be drinking radioactive waste.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Birch with us. And Bert, do you think, just as an opinion, do you think that these ETs are annoyed with us also for leaving our sandbox and, you know, going around our solar system poking at other bodies in orbit?
You know, that's a good question, Vince, and I'm not sure. You know, I think my personal feeling is I think we have just as much right to explore the galaxy and certainly our own solar system as anyone else does. So I'm not sure they're necessarily worried with our exploration. Now, if we start bringing our wars to other planets, I'm not so sure they'd be happy with that. You know, they ask, are aliens benevolent? And I guess one common thought is that if they were warlike, they'd probably have killed each other. So those that are out there are generally benevolent because they matured to a state where they did cooperate and not kill each other, basically. Why is our civilization on Earth so warlike? That's, you know, a question that's been asked from the earliest historians and theologians and from before the Greeks and Romans. Why do we fight each other? I don't know. Take other people besides me to answer that. But I'm giving you a long answer, Vince, but I think in and of itself, I do not think there's a problem with space exploration. I think it's, you know, perhaps our destiny.
Okay. I'm really concerned about drilling holes in the atmosphere, burning up oxygen like it's free. At the same time, we're destroying the forests all over the world, making furniture, substandard furniture like IKEA makes, you know, deforesting the planet. And the trees, of course, and vegetation take carbon dioxide and kindly make oxygen for us to survive, and then, you know, we're cutting that down. At the same time, we're burning oxygen, drilling holes in the atmosphere like Elon Musk is doing, and Jeff Bezos, and than the rest of them. It's just, who do they think they are? I mean, they're just taking. It's just, it bothers me. It really bothers me. And it's got to stop. So I'm not suggesting any violence against those individuals. I'm just saying this has got to stop. So, Bert, those are my opinions. What is the message? Is the message buried in somewhere between the lines of shutting down our nuclear devices, our control panels, if you will, our control rooms? What is the message?
Well, I think the obvious message is we're playing with fire and we shouldn't be using these type of devices. Then you can take it further. A lot of people, and I think also some of the audience at this press conference, were thinking, well, let's say it did escalate to a war. Would they interfere to continue to screw around with the guidance systems to prevent the missiles from launching? And I don't know the answer to that. Would they take it that step further and prevent us? I don't know.
There was a term that was used decades ago, and it's a three-letter word, M-A-D, MAD. And at the time, it stood for mutually assured destruction. And what that means is, and you've seen this on Hollywood movies, class, you know, an ICBM is incoming to the United States, and we only have like minutes to decide whether we are going to be wiped out by an ICBM, intercontinental ballistic missile, a nuclear warhead, if you will, or is it just a blip on the radar screen? Is it an error? Is it real? Is it nuclear capable? Is it armed? Is it a warning? Is it the real deal? What is it? And with just minutes to go, do we press our button that launches a retaliatory return fire?
Yeah,
and do we assure mutual, or do we make sure there is mutually assured destruction of the planet? And then, of course, there's collateral damage and all the innocent bystanders who had nothing to do with anything. And they get blown up as well. Go ahead.
I'll point the class to the movie Dr. Strangelove from the late 1960s.
Okay, or On the Beach, which is, I haven't seen it in decades, but On the Beach is, you know, there's been destruction and a few survivors that live on, I believe, in Australia, and they're trying to figure out if everyone else dead on the whole planet or what. And this is really scary stuff. And in class, this is why you need to get control of your school board in your little village. And get the school board to make sure that science and history are taught in schools so that your children can learn the kinds of things that we're talking about, so they make sure that they are not participants in blowing up our planet. You need to understand science. So forget all this nice, warm, fuzzy stuff. Let's learn reading, writing, arithmetic, science, history, etc. Bert, thank you so much for being with us today.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.